Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
What do we need in this life to be fulfilled? Have you ever thought about that? Is it that perfect house, that car, the next iPhone? Somebody? Anybody? Like, we think, we set up these things in our life where we think, okay, this is what I need in my life to be filled, to be whole. And I think sometimes that leads us into things like covetousness, where we just wish we had a different life or a different spouse or a different house or just something different, to where we're like, hey, I need something else in my life to be whole. History shows us we are in pursuit of this. All major religions and philosophies promise or give this type of hope, that one day or even now, you can find completeness and wholeness if you just or believe, fill in the blank. Which shows in and of itself, when we simply slow down long enough to be honest, we are not currently fulfilled. So it does beg the question, can we be fulfilled? My answer is yes, and no, and yes. Can we be fulfilled? My answer is yes, and no, and yes. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's on page 959 in the Pew Bibles. 959 in the Pew Bibles, and just hold your finger there for a little bit. We have our page numbers so that if you don't know your way around the Bible, you can turn right to it and read along with us. 1 Corinthians 13, again, page 959. Now, our Advent series is titled Here and Near. We have seen so far, we're not going to stand for the reading of God's Word this time, Diane. thank you. I love that you do that, though. Just hold your finger in that text, and we'll get to it in a second. But we have seen so far that hope is here and near, that peace is here and near, that joy is here and near. And today we talk about love. What is biblical love? How is love here currently? How is love near, as in close to us? How do we receive this love? And how does this change your life? Those will be kind of our points as we work through this morning. The context of our scripture this morning is that really, at the end of the day, Paul, the Apostle Paul who writes this letter, is saying to the Corinth church to work together to build each other up so that they can be an effective witness to others. But they were taking this spiritual experience to the extreme, particularly when it came to the gifts of the Spirit in their gathering. In other words, they were making it about them and they just needed a little course correction. Remember, years back, we did a series through the book of Corinthians, and we called it, one of our subtitles was When Christians Go Wild. Christians gone wild in Corinth. They were dealing with some pretty serious things, with division and some crazy things going on with a stepmom and all kinds of stuff that's happening there. And so Paul's like, hey, and he brings this course correct through this letter because he couldn't be with them in person. And in our direct context in 1 Corinthians 13, he's talking about this idea of gifts of the Spirit. So what do I mean by gifts of the Spirit? This is step one that goes to answering our question, what do we need in this life to be fulfilled? And we're going to be talking about what is biblical love. It's God's love for us. It's God's love for us. The Apostle Paul came to Corinth with a message of good news. He writes in the beginning of 1 Corinthians, says, and when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech and wisdom. And basically he's saying, I didn't deceive you or persuade you. I just simply came and preached this. And he goes on to say, for I decided to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. And then he goes on a little bit later to say, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And this leads us to the gospel. that Jesus Christ lived and died. You see, just picture this. Paul walks into a city. Picture first century, a Roman city. It's got all kinds of things going on with it. They have idolatry, prostitution. So in other words, how you worship this one God who was to sleep with a prostitute. So you can imagine it was very popular back in the day. And you have all this craziness and trade going on. And then the Apostle Paul comes and preaches a simple message. That simple message is that there's a guy named Jesus. He was the Messiah of the Jewish religion. And he came and fulfilled prophecy, but they crucified him. They killed him. But he died for a reason. That reason wasn't because he was crucified by the hands of others, but instead he intentionally went to the cross so that you and I could have forgiveness of sins. But he didn't just stay in the grave. He rose again on the third day. And in that message, that proclamation, through just street preaching, some came to know. Some were like, I believe that message. And the Holy Spirit, and I just love the picture how the Holy Spirit just kind of blows like a wind through the hearts of men. And in those moments where it's just like I once was blind and then bam, light turns on and I see. And then a heart is changed for eternity. Forgiveness is found and the love of God enters in. Such good news. This is what Paul proclaimed. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Man, is that not great news? Because I know that if I look back at my life, I'm just going to testify for a second. If I look back at my life, there is no way I'm coming to Jesus. There is just no way. Even though I felt that, I wanted to be whole. I wanted to be like find completeness. There's a hole that we know from scripture. It's eternity in the hearts of men. But yet I was looking to fill it in. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. But then Christ came and he found me while I was still a sinner and wanted nothing to do. I'm like, nope, nope, nope. God's like, yep. And then, boom, gave me eyes to see and ears to hear. And oh, was I changed. By the grace of God, I was changed. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. And here's the crazy thing is, God shows his love for me in that. There's a demonstration. It says in 1 John 4:9, it says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us. That God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. That we might live through him. See, what is biblical love? Is God loves us and demonstrates that love through the cross that then gives us the ability to love God back. To love God back. And this starts to go into the great two commandments that Jesus speaks of. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. How? Because we have it some way in us to be able to do that, to love God that way? Absolutely not. We have no ability in and of ourselves to be able to love God this way. But by his grace, he reveals and opens our eyes and then shows us how great he is through the gospel of Jesus. And then we can't help but to love God. Like we just can't. Like if you just think about it for a second. Like, see, it's Jesus calling. Some of you need to pay attention. If you just think about it for a second, the great love that God has for us, it's like, yeah, I've heard that love, been hearing it all my life, those kind of things. But just stop and think about that. Think about the cross of Jesus, how you first met him and how you couldn't help but to love God. That's why we're called every week to take communion and come back to the table. Not to remember a cracker and a juice. It's really not that great. Somebody say amen. Like we moved over to everything free bread. So if you have any gluten, anything issue, our bread is there. We also lost some flavor in the process, but that's okay. all things to all men, for all people, so that some may come to know Jesus. And so, but the bottom line is, it's not about the bread. It's not about the juice. It's for us to remember back in the day how much we love God, to break our calloused hearts, to lose like all the things that kind of bind us down during the week, to cast those things away. And remember, when the sun sets you free, you're free indeed, that I'm fully loved by God. And man, do I love God back. That's the reminder of the gospel when we come back to these things. It's the love of God. See, what is biblical love? It's first, God loves us so that we may love God. And this is how we receive the Spirit. Back to our text. This is how we receive the Spirit of God. See, our sin was removed. You guys remember this, right? Hopefully. Our sin was removed, but we weren't left with a clean slate. Otherwise, we would jack it up. So Jesus actually imputes or declares over his righteousness, sin removed, righteousness added. And now, once we have the righteousness of Christ over us, declared to us, now we get the indwelling Spirit in us. Because otherwise, God wouldn't, like, not to get too, you know, sci-fi on you, but if God entered you in your sinful state, you're going to explode. Everybody with that? But because of the greatness of the gospel, God has so done a work in your life that a holiness you don't deserve now dwells in you, so the Spirit of God can dwell with you. Not just with, but in. This goes back to how I used to, when we talked about the Spirit, how like we should just wake up in the morning and just like, God dwells in me? Wow! And just freak out. But we're raised in a Christian world, a Christian state. Like, we just like, yeah, it's old hat. But, man, we should just be so in awe of the fact that the Spirit dwells in us. And when the Spirit dwells in you, he doesn't just dwell in you to do things like it talks about in Romans 8, to continually remind you, you're a son of the living King. Hey, you're a daughter of the living King. It's one of the works, according to Romans 8, that that's what the Spirit does. He's reminding us. He's whispering, sometimes yelling, sometimes slapping, at least in my experience, slapping me on the back of the neck, reminding me I'm a son of the living King. Don't live that way. Oh, yeah, that's right. I don't have to live that way anymore because I'm a son of the living King. Sorry. You know, like, maybe just with me? Okay, fair enough. But the bottom line is that the Spirit dwells in us, and he gives us gifts. Obviously, the thing that comes to mind is the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe when I see at least a picture in the movie. I won't quote the book. I think most of you have seen the movie where they think it's the ice witch that's coming across the lake that's frozen, and they drop down into a ditch. Turns out it's Santa Claus, or it's Mr. Claus, or whatever they call him in the book, or in the movie. And he has gifts, and he gives them these gifts. C.S. Lewis in writing that, or, I'm sorry, yeah, C.S. Lewis in writing that, bringing our memory to the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit empowers us that we could live for a higher purpose than ourselves. And he gives us these gifts. And it's so crazy that when we get these gifts, we're encouraged to show others the love of God, and we're free to love others freely. So let me say that again, because that's important. The Spirit then gives us gifts so that we can encourage others in the love of God. And here's the crazy thing. You have been given the love of God. Like, God loves you right now just as you are. Which then frees you so that you can love others freely. Like, in other words, I don't need you to love me back. According to that truth, I don't need you to love me back. I don't need you to reciprocate the love that I can give to you, because I'm not looking to fulfill my soul by your return, which is a lot of relationships nowadays. It's like I'm dating this person or I'm married to this person or I'm in this work relationship, and it kind of spans relationships across the way. Like for a guy sometimes, and even for ladies as well, it's just we get our identity from our work, from our affirmation from our boss, and now that relationship creates need. I need you to affirm me so I can be who I feel like I am. Or in a dating relationship, it's so similar where we just feel like, man, I just need you to let me know how cool I am or how loved I am by you so that I can be me. And what that does is it creates tension in the relationship, begins to like put a pull on the relationship. Whereas the love of God, I'm running out of breath. The love of God fills us so deeply that now I don't need you to love me back because I am filled with God's love. That is such good news. And we're able to just freely love people. That's what the love of God does for us. In 1 John 1:4, it says, right after it says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his son into the world so that we might live through him. It goes right on. One verse, two verses later, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, so also we ought to love one another. If God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. What is biblical love? It's God's love for us, and our love for God, and for others, and for others. And that's what the point that the Apostle Paul is making in 1 Corinthians. It's like, hey, you've been given a gift. He talks about the gospel, and he addresses a lot of those issues, and then he goes into spiritual gifts. And if you're in the text, if you would, just turn right over to 1 Corinthians 12 if you want to follow along. If not, I'm just going to read this over you. 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for, anybody got it? For the common good. In other words, your gift of the Spirit is for other people, to encourage other people in the love of God. It says, let me read again. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. So in other words, you're like, I've never been gifted by the Spirit. Well, that's not true, because each one of us as a Christian has been given a manifestation or gift of the Spirit. It's for the common good of the people. And then skip down to 12:25. It says, that there may be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And what he's saying in these things is that the gift, the love, and the gifts that you've been given is for other people. And I think, just as a side note, you guys listening? I think sometimes we don't see the gifts of the Spirit because we're so self-focused. It's all about what I get. It's all about what God can do for me. And why do I say that? Because that's what the Corinthians were doing. They were like, I don't think any of us here, maybe in small bits, I have the gift of prophecy. Oh, you have the gift of service? That's nice. Like, that's the kind of spiritual arrogance and using of the spiritual gifts, because they were boasting in their spiritual gifts. Like, oh, I got the gift of prophecy. And somehow, within their context, they made gifts. They made what God had gifted them by his grace about them. And through this argument, the Apostle Paul goes, you know, in all these spiritual gifts, because he corrects them. He shows them what's going on with tongues, with prophecy between 12 and 14. But right in the middle of it, he says something that's so, so important. See, we're called to, based on God's love for us, love God and then love others. And it sounds good, right? And can we be fulfilled? Yes, because of that. And yet, no. It turns out we still have to deal with sinful behaviors, which puts a wrench in the works to this otherwise beautiful story. Why? Because we currently live in what's called the already but not yet. See, we already have hope and joy and peace and love from God. This is how love is here. Based on the gospel story, we have a fulfillment. We have a fullness of. We have peace with God. We have a joy that no one has to steal. Like, these are all promises and statements from God to us as his children. And yet when we walk out into the world, sometimes out of the church doors, or even this morning as we were trying to figure out some of the tech stuff and the slides and all this stuff, it's just like, ugh, and my peace just goes right out the window. Anybody else? And my joy, psh, gone. Because I'm so frail and sinful. I would love to be able to walk just like a Buddhist priest through these things of just like, like nothing ever bothers me. But that's not the case because it's not real. Life hurts. It's painful. There's a reality to it because I'm dealing with other sinful things, not just in the world, but you guys. You guys are sinful too, FYI. But me too. And so here we are in this pool, kind of drowning sometimes, we're trying to hold each other up, and we're stuck in this situation, but we're called to what Paul does in the Corinth church to remind us that we're loved by God, therefore we're able to love one another. But sometimes we drown, not fully, but we get overwhelmed. That's why it's not, that's why the answer is still kind of no. Can we be whole in this life? Yes, but sometimes no. Because we're already, but not quite yet. But here's the crazy thing. It does beg the question, why is it like this? Why is life so hard? Well, because we don't go to heaven when we get baptized. And we've been set on a mission. What? To do what, Pastor? To tell other people about the love of God. We're ambassadors for Christ. God making his plea through us to tell others about this love. Like, I think back on my life, and it's like, man, if everybody immediately went from this sinful place to heaven, I know for sure, without a shadow of doubt, I would not know God. God used his people to show me his love. And guess what he's doing today? He's using you to show other people his love. That's why we're still here. That's why we're in this mess. The Bible uses terminology like we're pilgrims walking through a strange land. This is not our home. So can we be fulfilled in this life? Yes, but no. Already? Not quite. Not quite. We have been loved by God and been set free to love others. So yes, we can be fulfilled, but this love is not fully realized. It's messy, so it's yes and no. Just like we see in Corinth. Now the pull is to focus on yourself, yet the love of God is for others. It's for others. And the encouragement of Scripture is to live as you are, fully loved by God so that you can love others. We don't run from the mess. We enter into it knowing what we have. Let me say that again. Christians, we don't run from the mess. Why? And that doesn't mean put on a hazmat suit and walk into people's lives. Why? Because we know what we have. We have the love of God. Like, if God is with us, who can be against us? If God of the universe is on my side, what's going to come against me? Anybody? Nothing. Now this side has it. This side, where were you at? Nothing. Thank you. So, I mean, we have this, like, we have God with us. He's working all things together for the good for those of you that love God and are called according to his purpose. Like, there is a with us, God with us type scenario that's going on in our lives. And so we're able to enter into people's mess and distraction and all the sinful things that swirl around, not only in our soul, but in the souls of others. And we're able to enter in that because light always overcomes darkness. And we have the light of Christ. Don't make me sing that song. You want me to sing that song? This little light of mine. That's all you get. Because that's what we have. We have the love of God. And so we live into the already fully loved by God, but when we enter into the mess of others, we realize it's not fully realized yet. So what is this love? Well, let me say it this way. Love is just not a part of it. It's foundational. In other words, it's not just an attribute of the Christian life. It is absolutely foundational. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mystery and all knowledge and have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all that I have and deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. In other words, the motivation by which you do things. Now, isn't it good that God is graceful? Because these are hard statements. These statements are exaggerated on purpose. Because these guys are talking about tongues, and so like the Apostle Paul starts talking about the tongues of angels. Like he's going big, he's going exaggerating, because he's saying, you know, you guys are here on spiritual gifts. Even if you get here, like the top of your game spiritually, like you're this guy, you don't have love, you're nothing. And he's making this point, and the reason why he's making this point is to encourage us as well as a church to not forget about the love of God and to love others. And the reason why we sing songs, the reason why we do slides, the reason why we set up videos, the reason why I think I frustrated to no end both my older sons this morning is because of the love of God. They're like, nope, that's not what happened. But the bottom line is that when we serve, when we give, whatever our spiritual gift is, when we encourage, when we greet, we're called to be motivated by the love of Christ. Now, isn't it cool that God is graceful and teaches us this? So it's not like a condemning, like, well, you didn't say hi to me in love, so it's worth nothing, kick rocks. That's not the point. The point is that God brings us, grows us into a reality of learning the love of God and then the ability to be able to love others fully. That's why, can we be whole? Can we be fulfilled? Can we complete? Yes, but not yet, not fully. So it begs the question, what does this love look like? What does this love look like? See, Paul encourages the Corinth church and us as a church, the way to live into this isn't to focus on a heightened spiritual experience. Look what it says at the end of chapter 12. It says this, and I will show you a still more excellent way. I will show you a still more excellent way. And I think that when we think about Scripture, and this is important, we think about Scripture, oftentimes we read something as though it's a command, and it's really just descriptive. In other words, the Apostle Paul and in Scripture, it's describing things in Scripture. Why? Because oftentimes we don't know what the Christian life looks like. Like I'm talking about this love. Well, what does that love look like? Like what? How can I live into what I already have? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us. And these are truths on what biblical love is. Chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. God's love for you. Your love for others. And so these aren't commands on, hey, be more patient. Hey, be more kind. It's saying, no. We'll get there. This is the love that I have for you. Love others in the same way. What does that look like, God? Looks like this. It looks like this. Let me read it again. Church, love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Church, love never ends. What is biblical love? God's love for us, our love for God and for others. Can we be fulfilled? Yes. Because Christ died to show us and give us the love of God. And yet, no, because we are not in heaven yet. But yes, because guess what? He's coming again. Let me say that again. He's coming again. Okay, this side still. Hey, right side. Can we talk? He's coming again. He's coming. Christ is coming again. How is love near? Because Christ is near. See, his coming is coming soon. It may be in our lifetime. It could be today. It could be before Christmas. We don't know. We honestly don't know. No man knows a day or hour, so I make no claim. But I just know Christ said he's coming soon, so I'm like, okay. Soon. Thank you. Soon. He goes on to say in the scriptures, it says, as for prophecies, this is verse 8, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. What he's doing is he's talking about those major things you are pursuing over here. Without love, they're worth nothing. This is what love looks like. And all those things over there that you're pursuing, those spiritual gifts, that pride, that ego, that like, man, I'm so cool. I got this, I got that, that type of stuff. It's going away. But you know what's not going away? The love of God. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For we now see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three abide, but the greatest of these is love. Church, your one command, chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love. For some of us, that means pursuing God and remembering. For some of us, it means coming back to God. For some of us, it means coming to God in the first place because I've never heard of this kind of love, never experienced this kind of love. And the gospel is calling, is yearning to you. Come, all who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And for some of us, it's like, yeah, I'm not ready. It's fine. Because just like the prodigal son, the dad never stopped loving the son. He's a patient God, and he's here when you're ready. But just know that's what you're going to get. You're not going to get condemning. You're going to get the dad with a wide open arms running towards you and throwing a party because that's who our God is. Amen? Amen. Believer, remember God's love for you through Jesus and why you're here. For all of us in the church, God's love so that you can love others, And your purpose is to show other people the love that you already have in God. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace. He is jealous for me.